Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We know you want to get a handle on big ideas, quickly, but also properly.
Get right into it.
Exactly. So today, we're looking at something really foundational.
Uh-huh.
How God's work in the world, based on our sources, is all connected, like a single unfolding story.
Yeah, it's not just random acts. It's this dynamic interplay. We're talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together. It's sometimes called a perichoresis.
Right, that mutual indwelling.
Mm-hmm. In creation, redemption, how it all wraps up. And their distinct roles actually make the whole thing work. They enable each other.
Okay, and our sources mention these two kind of like great commissions, mm-hmm. one in Genesis with creation.
Yeah, the creation mandate.
And the other one focused more on the kingdom, the call to the church.
Precisely.
So let's start with Genesis 1. It's not just, and then God made.
Right.
Right? There's more structure.
Definitely. Some theologians, you know, like Meredith Klein, argue it functions like a covenant, even if the word covenant isn't explicitly used right there.
Okay, so how does that work?
Well, later parts of the Bible, like Isaiah 24 or Hosea 6, seem to look back at creation in those terms. Adam is seen almost as a covenant partner, someone meant to uphold that created order.
Okay, so when God establishes the cycles, day and night, Klein called it a divine covenantal commitment. It's like a promise baked into reality.
Exactly. And you see that echoed later, for instance, in how God relates to Israel. Think about the Davidic kingship.
The everlasting covenant in 2 Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Where righteous rule is supposed to mirror the order and goodness of creation itself. That imagery of like the morning light breaking through.
Yeah, I see that. Psalms 72 and 89 touch on this too, right? Like mm-hmm. Psalm 89 feels like despair because God's order seems absent, almost like chaos returning.
Precisely. It shows how central that covenantal order was understood to be.
So this creation mandate, it's not just ancient history. How does it connect to, well, us now?
Great question. Poythress gives this useful example, a Christian mathematician. Basically, whatever our specific calling is, like Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, stay in the situation you were called. It's part of fulfilling that original mandate.
So being fruitful, multiplying, subduing the earth, having dominion, that includes understanding it like the mathematician does.
Yes. It's about cultivating and understanding God's works and the motivation. It's love for God and neighbor. The goal, ultimately God's glory, Romans 11:3-6, right? For from him and through him and to him are all things.
So it pushes back against just being like neutral about our work or the world.
Absolutely. It demands engagement.
And how does the Trinity fit into this part, into creation?
Well, you can see their distinct roles. The Father, you could say, gives creation its specific identity, its direction. The Son provides the underlying structure, the coherence, the relationships within it.
And the Spirit.
The Spirit is the one who opens it up, brings forth its potential, makes it dynamic, animates it.
Interesting. That makes me think about how we understand truth itself. It's not just one simple thing, is it?
Yeah.
No. And the Trinity helps here, too. Philosophers talk about different kinds of truth, like does it correspond to reality? Does it all fit together coherently? Does it work pragmatically?
Uh-huh.
A Trinitarian view suggests, well, yes, it's multifaceted, reflecting God's own nature and work. Remember Jesus telling Pilate, I am the truth. Truth is relational, it's dynamic.
So the Father is maybe like the origin or grounding, the Son, the coherence, the Spirit applying it.
Mm-hmm.
Some thinkers like Gunton connect this to Dewey Weird's ideas.
Exactly. Dewey Weird talked about meaning being in creation, given by God, but distinct from God's own being. It's like the Trinity unlocks the world's meaning. Everything exists in time, it's created, and its deepest qualifier is faith.
And our calling arises from that meaning. Worship first, than everything else.
That's the idea. Worship is primary, and all our other roles, our subsidiary callings, flow from that relationship with the Creator.
Okay, that sets up the creation side. What about the second big calling, the kingdom promise?
Right. This is where the gospel, the good news, comes roaring in. It reorients us within that created world. We start participating in God's redemptive story.
Again, the Trinity is central here, too.
Absolutely. Thinkers like Kuyper highlighted how the incarnation itself was this joint Trinitarian effort, each person playing a distinct role in Jesus coming into the world.
So the gospel gives a new dynamic. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We usually think of calling us to share the news of redemption.
Yes, because sin disrupted that original mandate, that relationship. We became estranged, alienated from God.
Which is why we need atonement.
Right. At one moment, literally. Bringing us back into relationship, the New Testament word for reconciliation, katalog, captures that restoration.
And there are different ways people understand how Christ achieves that atonement, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Different theories or models, some focus on his victory over evil, some on satisfying divine justice, some on transforming us inwardly.
The classic objective-subjective views.
Kind of, yeah. And interestingly, these often connect to Christ's three offices, prophet, priest, and king. You can even see Trinitarian dimensions there, maybe patrological, pneumatological aspects emphasized in different models.
So no single theory captures the whole picture.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You really need that Trinitarian richness to grasp the fullness of Christ's work. It was a divine, coordinated act of reconciliation.
So the church's mission flows directly from God's mission, proclaiming this whole story, creation and redemption.
That's it. It's an extension of God's own work, bringing everything towards that final goal of restoration and reconciliation in Christ. It all hangs together.
Wow. Okay, so the big takeaway seems to be seeing everything, the world, our lives, our work, through this lens of the Trinity's dynamic, interconnected action.
It gives everything a much deeper resonance, I think.
So maybe something for everyone listening to chew on.
Yeah.
How does seeing God's work as this multi-layered Trinitarian effort change how you view your specific calling? Not just the big stuff, but the everyday actions, the relationships. How are you part of this story?